Calling all Swifties and champions of change, Like a Girl Media is rolling out the red carpet for you with our Thrive Like a Girl contest. We're all about celebrating powerful women leaders who inspire us to dream big and push boundaries. And who embodies that spirit more than Taylor Swift herself? Here's your chance to see her live in concert. We're giving away 2 tickets to Taylor Swift's show in London on Saturday, June 22nd. Imagine being part of the magic, all thanks to Like a Girl Media. Entering is easy. Subscribe, share, and show us which episodes inspired you the most. Visit our website or check our social media for all the details. Don't just dream it, be it. Thrive like a girl and make this summer unforgettable. Contest opens globally, void where prohibited, must be 18 or older to enter, no purchase necessary. Subscribe and share with hashtag Thrive Like a Girl and tag us at likeagirl_media for entry. Unlimited entries means unlimited chances. Winner chosen at random after contest closes May 20th, 2024. Will be notified via DM. Make sure your profiles are not private. Check full rules on our site. This is your shot to see Taylor Swift live. Don't miss it. Hey there, and welcome to the Hit Like a Girl podcast. My name is Joy Rios, this show's host, and today we are joined by somebody very, very special. I'm going to let her introduce herself in a moment, but to let you know and our audience, this is a show where we talk about the 30,000-piece puzzle of healthcare and how complicated it can be. And so every one of our guests brings a piece of their puzzle to kind of help us understand the big picture. So can you please share with us your piece of the health IT puzzle?
Thank you so much for having me, Joy. It's a pleasure to be here. So I'm Andrea Darty. I serve as the head of digital health, SHI. I've been with the organization just about 9 months, which is just crazy to think about. I joined SHI to really be a part of something special, right, in healthcare. You know, I think you really hit the nail on the head. Healthcare is so fragmented. Having spent majority of my career on the provider side, I've obviously seen a lot of things. I've grown up in healthcare. And so being able to bring that perspective over to the IT solution provider side, I think allows us to really build something that's purpose-built and purpose-driven. At the end of the day, hopefully we'll really help our healthcare organizations and improve how they deliver care to the patient populations they serve.
Can I learn a little bit more about your journey? And I also want to know how crazy the last 9 months have been.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how far do you go back? No, you know, it's interesting. I grew up in healthcare, honestly. My mom was a nurse and she went back to school for her master's and when I was in elementary school. And so I've always had healthcare somewhere, some way, some shape, form throughout my life, I think influencing me. It was really during my teenage years, my sister, who's 11 years older than me, she was type 1 diabetic, but she suffered a lot of medical issues. End-stage renal failure was one of the big ones. And so I started taking her to her dialysis appointments. And so it was like little sister actually turns into caregiver in a lot of ways. But doing that, right, I was really in the thick of like acute care, but also just like helping her navigate some of the challenges of appointments and rescheduling and medication management. And I think that's what really initially sparked an interest. And so I always knew I wanted to be in healthcare, just didn't know what capacity. Started out in pharmacy school and quickly learned I did not want to be a pharmacist.
Like, nope, yeah. I take it back.
Yeah, I'm like science and math, I'm really good at, but is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? Absolutely not. So fast forward, you know, once I graduated, I'm born and raised in Kansas City. Obviously, that's where Cerner was headquartered. And so I had an opportunity to go work for them. And my first role there was a learning consultant where I was responsible. This is during the CPOE era, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's going from paper to their electronic health record. And so I was responsible for actually designing and delivering the education for physicians.
Big deal.
Yeah, big deal. But a lot of exposure to different specialties and subspecialties and the fragmented healthcare system that we have. Did that for a couple of years, really wanted to learn more about the tech. And so I transitioned into an integration architect role where I was responsible for leading the actual technical parts of the implementation. Did that for a couple of years, started a family and decided I did not want to travel anymore after that. And that's when I went to the provider side. I was very fortunate actually here in LA to land at an organization that was very supportive of all of my aspirations. I started as a consultant for their lab information system, led that implementation in 11 months. They went live. They created a position for me, a manager of the lab information systems. It was a brand new position, never existed. So I built out a team there, did that for a couple years, and really wanted to get into cybersecurity. And so I went to my boss. My boss is Pierre at the time. He's VP of infrastructure. And I said, hey, Kevin, if I go obtain my CISSP and I create this strategic roadmap, will you create a director position for me? And he kind of laughed. And I'm like, well, we're a $3.4 billion organization. We don't have a dedicated cybersecurity team. Like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So you should let me do this. And he kind of laughed. And I was like, he's like, okay, if you go get your certification, Andrea, I'll do it. And I did, and he did. And so move from a manager of clinical applications to a director of information security.
I love that. Such a bold move. If you're like, I have a vision and no, I'm not joking. Yeah. This is needed and you need somebody. And guess what? I'm the person.
Yeah. You know, I have to say it was very bold. And there were a lot of times as I was building out the information security program, I thought to myself, like, what did I get myself into? Like, why am I doing this? But, you know, there were a lot of lessons learned along the way, and I had amazing support, you know, from the organization. Kevin Torres, Julie Eastman, she's actually the CIO at UC Irvine Health now.
Okay.
Still keep in touch with her. She's fantastic. She's been a big part of my journey, actually, into leadership and big reason why I've had the success that I have, always cheering me on, which I love that. But as I was doing that and kind of getting more in the circuit, doing speaking engagements, I met Aaron Meary, and he was like, hey, I heard you've done some really cool things. I was leading an innovation lab here with Memorial Care and Ceres Computer Solutions at the time. He's like, I'd love for you to come down to UT, University of Texas, and build out an information security program for the medical school and the healthcare enterprise. And I'm like, I don't think I'm ready to move. Like, I'm okay. I'm not really looking for another role.
Maybe not.
Yeah. He's like, no, it's academic medicine. You absolutely should just come down and meet the team. And so I did. You know, I remember being in Vegas. I was actually on my way to Vegas to go speak at a conference. And then that following week, I went down to Austin, Texas, and met with him and the team. And I remember walking through, it was a full day, and I remember walking through the airport, calling my husband, and I was like, hey, I think I just got a job. Do you want to move to Austin, Texas? And he's like, what? You're the only person I know that like goes somewhere and ends up with a job offer. And I'm like, well, we've been talking about leaving California. And so it was a few weeks late. It was actually that Friday. I got that call and there was an offer. And, you know, we talked about it over the weekend and decided to take a leap.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Yeah. So I did that. And, you know, Aaron Meary was very gracious and kind of let me build the team the way that I wanted to. And, you know, I started out actually as a director of security role there, but that quickly evolved into I had analytics, I had DevOps. You know, we did some really impressive things as a team. Had never led a DevOps team before, but stood one up and built a contact tracing app off of the open source code that the World Health Organization used during the Ebola outbreak so we could do contact tracing for COVID. I've always done really bold things. I can identify an opportunity and just lean into it. I just think that's what makes it exciting, but that's also what's needed in this industry if we're ever going to drive any sort of or lead any sort of change.
Well, I think you also have evidence of trusting yourself to do big, bold things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I thank my mom for that. I think, you know, seeing her go back to school when I was in elementary, right? I'm one of seven kids. So busy household, but, you know, there was just never anything that my mom didn't do. And just, I think having that inspiration was a big part of that. I've certainly carried that forward in my life.
Okay, so let's talk about the last 9 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Aaron Meary left. I was in the CIO role at UT until spring of last year and then decided to make the leap. And I tell you what, you know, when I first joined the organization, obviously being a part of a sales organization coming from the provider side, it was just a lot of listening and learning. I had a lot of ideas of what I wanted to do, but I didn't want to come in guns blazing. I really wanted to learn the organization and learn the folks and be very intentional. You know, I think what we have, the opportunity that we have at SHI is really something special. And so I wanted to be very purposeful and intentional about what we were building. It's been so crazy. One, for the first time in my career, I have a complete upline of all female leaders, which is so exciting. You know, SHI is the largest privately held minority owned business in the United States, which it's just like all of these things. It's like I couldn't have asked for to land at a better organization. The culture is fantastic. Everyone there is just so eager to help and learn. And, you know, one of our, the mantras is, you know, we're ridiculously helpful and people really are. You know, I think there's a lot of curiosity around healthcare. And so it's been a lot of conversations about how can we help you and your business unit be successful. Obviously leaning into a lot of my CIO peers in industry and just saying, hey, you know, I know what challenges I had as a CIO. What are your challenges and what are you looking for in an IT solutions partner, right? So I want to make sure that I'm actually meeting the need. I don't want to be just like another value-added reseller. Or I want to do something that's actually going to make a difference. And I think coming in with that perspective that I have as a healthcare CIO is a really pivotal part of that.
It just makes me really excited to know that there is an IT service out there that is WMB, like women heavy. Like that is so counter culture of what we have been taught. So I don't know, culturally wise, you're speaking to it, but can you speak to it more of the differences of just an IT organization that might be male-led versus female-led?
I've been fortunate in my career, even when I have worked for men, I've had very supportive men. But I will say, you know, I've certainly experienced my own challenges throughout. And you're right. I mean, like when I stepped into the cybersecurity space, I can't tell you how many conferences I walked into. And I was probably one of a handful of men.
Of women.
Yeah, and certainly even, you know, and minority women, like forget about it, right?
Right.
There's certainly some negative connotations, right? People are just like, what are you doing here? You don't belong here, right? There's that aspect of it. And then there's just like, you know, people until you actually open your mouth and have a conversation and then people are like, oh, wait, she
knows her stuff.
Yeah, she does know what she's talking about. You know, I think the biggest thing for me, the biggest observation that I've made and kind of now having been on both sides of the fence, if you will, and working for male leaders and female leaders is, you know, the female leaders really do lean into and support you. We've all had some challenges throughout our careers as we've come up. And so I think being able to share those experiences, I think provides a more empathetic environment to operate and move in. And, you know, we as women too, we tend to be so much harder on ourselves anyway.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think just having, it's almost like you have cheerleaders like Jennifer Emery, fantastic. I've known her for years. We met through Chime. And Laura Rogers, right? We met through Chime too, but it's like having our own little cheerleading squad. Like we're always hyping each other up. And like, even on the tough days when we're just like, oh, this is just not going the way that I want. Like, you know, we're leaning into it and supporting each other. And it just feels like a sisterhood, honestly.
I love that. And I also kind of like, I'm sure traveling with a squad is a little bit helpful.
Yeah. We have our like girl squad. I love it. I mean, we show up in numbers and it's just like, I've never had that in my career, right?
It's a
like,
big deal.
Yeah, I'm usually traveling with the guys and it's like one, and you know, I have five brothers, so I'm used to it, but also it's just, it's so different, so nice.
I feel like you might have a really solid piece of advice for people who walk into seas of men and are maybe the only either woman or minority woman and any, like, how do you own that confidence and without being too arrogant or whatever. Like, I know my stuff, right?
Yeah.
But like having to prove yourself, but in a subtle way.
Yeah, you know,
way.
It's I think helping, it certainly helped me having brothers. You know, I have a thick skin.
Yeah.
As a result of that, a lot of tussling coming up. But I think it's really just, you have to know, like, you belong there, right? You be confident in who you are and what value you add. I haven't always exuded the amount of confidence that I have now. It's come, but I think as I've taken some pretty bold steps throughout my career and been successful and continued to do that and be successful and have an impact. And when you do those types of things, like that confidence continues to grow. And other people see it too and recognize it. And so I think being authentic is another part of that too, right? Like show up as your true self. I am not the typical, you know, healthcare CIO or healthcare executive, right?
She's got sparkle. She's got a sparkly, shiny dress on, you guys. She's shimmering and bejeweled.
And my nose is pierced and I wear sneakers with everything. And I am who I am and that's all I can be. And I think that's a part of it too, right? Like when you're comfortable, you come as you are and you're comfortable as yourself, I think that that allows you to, that helps build that confidence. And I think that radiates naturally. So
100%. I like the idea of the evidence that we attain when we do bold things. It's not necessarily being scared of whatever's going to happen. It's like getting a trust in yourself. Yeah. I might not trust the environment, but I trust myself to be able to figure it out or absolutely navigate whatever is on its way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know what I can achieve, right? And I know what I'm capable of. And so I just really kind of keep that mindset going forward. Obviously, you know, I think your network is a big part of that as well. You know, surround yourself with people who are doing the things that you want to do or are doing and can be a sounding board for you. I have so many peers and friends in industry as I was kind of navigating these things and taking these bold steps that I called and said, okay, hey, this is how I'm thinking about this. Like, does this make sense? What am I missing? That's a big piece of it too. I think just having that network of folks that you can trust and that also believe in you and will encourage you and push you to continue to move forward.
Okay, back to IT stuff.
Yeah.
Can we talk cybersecurity?
Gosh.
Like it feels like it's getting scarier as far as the amount of data that is out there and ways in which it can be shared and also used against us.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting. There was a picture, deepfake, right? Imaging AI generated in 15 seconds of like the Pentagon getting blown up.
Oh my gosh.
Right? And so it was started to circulate it. The AP picked it up. The stock market started trending down. And this was all just off of an AI generated picture. So like the technology that we have access to right now literally has the ability to impact our markets, to start panic on social media. And so it's really scary right now. You're absolutely correct. What every other day there's a headline about, you know, a cyber event somewhere, obviously coming off the hills of this Change Healthcare cyber right event that a lot of folks are still dealing with here today, right? I think we have to do our due diligence. And it's sad, but also just the world that we live in. And we know that it's not going to get any better. And so there's a couple of things that we can do. One, it's workforce, right? How do we continue to build a workforce that's going to, you know, be there that hospitals can hire and afford? I can remember when I started my cybersecurity career, you know, just trying to attract talent in that it was so hard. And that was, and it's the shortage has only gotten worse because
sure,
the attacks continue to happen. But even in healthcare, right? I mean, just looking for people that want to be in healthcare or stay and trying to compete with other industries or like big tech, right? It's hard to do in healthcare. It's hard to keep people, to attract and retain the workforce that's needed. And so I think we're going to have to rely on technology. We're going to have to rely on technology to combat technology quite a bit, but it's something that's not going away. And it should be on, I say this, and I've always said that it should be on the forefront of everybody's mind because cybersecurity isn't just a CISO's job. It's not just a CIO's job. It's everyone in the organization, right? Your workforce is your first line of defense. So everybody really needs to be educated on it and doing their part.
I have two examples, and one is healthcare related and one is not. But my sister basically just got frauded. And it was the people trying to fraud her from her bank sounded exactly like the fraud department.
Yeah.
And it was basically verbatim. The systems, the phone number came from her bank. They said all the things. And and so when she basically got wiped out of a whole bank account.
Oh my gosh.
Thankfully, it got fixed. It was fine. But when she was going through the legitimate fraud control, it sounded verbatim, word for word, what the folks that scammed her were. And like, that is a little part. And she's like, I'm officially old now.
Yeah.
Like I got suckered into it. And it's just like, oh, it's heartbreaking.
Well, and think about the opportunities. I mean, like, that's great that she was able to recover those funds, but there's so many people that do fall victim to scams like that and aren't able to recover that. Or, you know, maybe they've lost other things. I know that it's really heartbreaking to think about, especially when we think about, you know, different generations. Obviously, older generations are going to be a lot more susceptible to falling victim to some of that stuff.
But we always thought that was so far away, like grandma's age.
It's here.
And she's like, nope, it's me now.
Yeah, it's here. And it's, oh my gosh. Well, I'd love to hear the other.
Okay, so the other one has to do with after the Super Bowl, that there was the IT department did their fake test if the workforce would pass the phishing email.
Oh, yeah.
And they put out a link that had something to do around Taylor Swift, right? Around the Super Bowl. And of course, somebody was like, click.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately,
like,
yes.
Failed. You failed.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've gotten some pretty... That was one thing I did have a lot of fun with the phishing campaigns.
Yeah. Okay, tell me about that. Because you get to design them and you're like, how am I going to trick the workforce?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to share. One of the favorite ones that I did were like e-cards. Yeah.
Of course. You're like, somebody so thoughtful. Thank you.
E-cards. Did that. And the click rate on that was out of this world, right? So there was a lot of education there around that. I did some that were dating sites. It was very interesting to see how much of the workforce was actually interested in dating sites on your hospital computer or your hospital device, issue device. You know, we've mimicked bank accounts as well. It's amazing to see people click on like that Chase link and, you know, subtle differences or just like fake emails from our CEO, COO, or direct supervisor, right? Asking for something like, here, click this file, or I need you to check out this spreadsheet, right? And people are just, you know, I think a couple of things, right, that we learned from that. One is the world moves so fast. We move so fast in our day-to-day that sometimes we just need to stop and pause and actually pay attention, especially when it comes to cybersecurity, phishing, things of that sort. The other thing we learned is people do a lot of things on their work devices that they should not be doing.
Yes, they do.
I really enjoyed that. You know, it was really an opportunity to educate the workforce, and you know, we made it fun, right? It wasn't punitive by any means. It was really, we saw it as an opportunity to really educate folks and bring them up to see. And they appreciated that too.
Sure. Well, especially if there's no punishment, right? It's literally a learning opportunity of like, oh, I need to be more cognizant. Yeah. I need to be more thoughtful.
Yeah. And, I mean, unless we had repeat offenders, then like, all right, come on now.
But how interesting to have that job to be like, let me design the tricks of things that you're not supposed to click on. That sounds fun, actually.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun. And again, right, like coming, having that experience and bringing that over to the IT solution provider side, right, and being able to have these conversations with vendors about, you know, how they're packaging and marketing their solutions and how they're having conversations with healthcare customers, what they should and shouldn't be saying too, right?
Sure.
And, you know, I think it gives you a really unique opportunity to have an impact on industry in a way that I probably, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, you would have asked me if I would have ever done a position or considered a position like that. And I would have been like, no, I'm never leaving the provider side. And here I am.
Here you are. Okay, so when people think about SHI, what is the image or what should they have in their back pocket?
Yeah, well, that's changing. A year ago, I would have conversations with folks, or I say 9 months ago, having just joining SHI, you know, people be like, oh, what is she? What is SHI? What is that? Right. And now we've done such a great job of really, you know, getting our name out there and focusing on our branding. And so now it's like, oh my gosh, it's SHI Healthcare and Andrea's there and Jennifer's there. And like, you guys have this A team and Laura's done such a great job of finding great partners such as yourself, right?
Yes.
To partner with. So we really just want to become known as a trusted IT solutions provider. We have industry experts that have sat in the seats of our healthcare customers. And so we understand the challenges operating in that ecosystem and having to do more with less. And so when think about SHI, we really just want to be that trusted partner.
I also want to point out that you guys sponsor the Puppy Park.
Yes, that's my favorite.
So anytime you're at the Vive or health events, it's like SHI puppies.
Yeah. Credit to Jennifer Emery for that one. That was her idea. And it was such a hit last year that we just like, that's our thing now.
I mean,
we
how could you not? It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
It brings so much joy to people.
Yeah. And it's just, it's nice. Yes, it does. It's nice, right? We're so busy running around the floor on these things and having meetings and so focused on metrics and all on sorts of things. And so it's just nice to kind of get a daily dose of dopamine, serotonin, break it up and...
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, we are healthcare. It's all healthcare related. So bring
wellness.
Some wellness into
exactly.
it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for being here and sharing your journey. If people want to follow you, connect or connect with SHI, where do you lead them?
Yeah, connect with SHI. You can follow us on LinkedIn, SHI International. I'm on there as well, LinkedIn, Andrea L. Darty. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
It has been great. It's great to get to know you. And I'm glad that our audience gets to know you as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for listening. You can learn more about us or this guest by going to our website or visiting us on any of the socials with the handle HitLikeAGirlPod. Thanks again. See you soon. Again, thank you so much for listening to the Hit Like a Girl podcast. I am truly grateful for you, and I'm wondering if you could do me a quick favor. Would you be willing to follow or subscribe to this podcast, or maybe leave us a rating or review? Or if you're feeling extra generous, would you share this episode on your Instagram stories or with a friend? All those things help us podcasters out so much. I'm the show's host, Joy Rios, and I'll see you next time.